What I would say to parents is, don't believe the hype sometimes of what other people are telling you about your kid. Have you listened to ask the coaches questions? Don't listen to their agents. Well, listen to them, but know which ones are telling you lies. Don't believe the hype. And I'll say this to the kids that are a bit older. Obviously, you have to listen to your parents because they're the ones that give you the ground rules and new morals. But when it comes to football, the only people you have to listen to is your coaches and the people that matter. And work out what that coach, that manager wants from you as soon as you can. That's what I'd say. I have the ability to listen. Don't believe the hype. And if you can run, you've got an ability, you've got a chance.
This football intelligence, Stewie, that obviously some people have, some people not. What do you think the right, if trying to frame this question, if there's a right age or a right time or a right way to build football intelligence, to become more intelligent about the game, to understand more, like how do you suggest that people do that if for whatever reason they aren't naturally intelligent? Do you know what I mean?
The coaches these days, Joe, should have all the tools to be able to show that player, show them on a screen, TV, show them on a board, show them on a training field, talk to them about it. They've got all the tools. Now, if that coach isn't doing his job properly and not showing them things, then he's not going to get more football intelligent. So as long as the guy who's coaching that girl, boy, woman, man, does all those things, he's given that person the best chance to have a really good football intelligence if he's not already got one. And if he or she's already got a real good football intelligence, then they should get it in a different way. I was more of a visual, so I'd look at the analysts and I'd get it, I'd probably get out on the pitch more, whereas everyone's different, so you have to work out which player works with whatever thing suits them, whether it's screen, out on the pitch, practical, or whether it's just shown on a tactics board.
I actually remember a time in training when, for whatever reason, the player that we'd had, or we changed the formation, and you and Daryl decided that you'd like to see me play in a holding midfield role.
And did we?
You did, yeah. And you know what? I actually was half successful at that whilst I was in. And I was like, for whatever reason, it's the season finished, and I never really played there again. I think you signed obviously a couple of lads to play that position, and I didn't find myself back in there. But in the period of time that I did, remember one training session where we were doing 11v11 on a Thursday or a Friday for a Saturday game, and you ran around the pitch with me, just planting seeds into my mind over what position I should be in when the ball's here, or what position's the ball in there, and that helped me ultimately learn. Sort of like, I can remember running around the pitch thinking, oh, like the day before or the Thursday, Marcus had said when the ball's this side, this is where I need to be, and it sort of just became like a like an unconscious thing that I sort of knew. But your coaching style then would literally just follow me around the pitch and just run after me, and that's something I always appreciated. But
not everyone gets that, Joe. You know, but you did, because you were a thoughtful player. You did think about the game, but not everyone would get it that way. I just felt you needed help at that time, at that moment, because I was on the sideline, and manager said, just get involved and have drip feed information while he's doing the coaching. That's what I did most of the time. I just felt it was time, because you'd be new to it. You would have done it before, but it's hard to understand what the manager wants from you, so you needed a bit of help.
Yeah.
And you weren't a dickhead, so I thought I'd go for
it. talking of the word dickhead then, Marcus, let's flip it, because you know we've spoken about what makes an attractive player, especially to a coach. What makes a difficult player? What makes a dickhead? What the personality traits of a bad player?
All the opposites of what I said makes it good. You know, someone doesn't run around. Actually, no. Someone who doesn't want to run around. Someone who thinks it's not a running game, because it is. I don't care what anyone says. It is a running game. Whereas up and down the pitch, given an angle, across the pitch, it's a running game. You've got to be able to do that. But someone who upsets the apple cart within the team, for me, is not part of a team player. And luckily, over the years, I can suss those people out. And what I mean by that is not adding value in a positive manner, being negative around the place, like we spoke about. Complain all the time, everything's someone else's fault. you know, not going out on a dinner, you know, a lad's night out for whatever reason. Just not wanting to get involved or not wanting to learn and not wanting to take advice on, whether it's from a senior player, a young player. That's what I think. The most important thing for me is his mannerisms around the rest of the group when he's not playing or she's not playing, how he affects that group when you're in the office, not seeing all that. That's the most important thing to me. And generally, if you've got a good group of lads, they'll come and tell you that anyway.